Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You get three rolls on the tower, and whatever random question I roll for you, that is where we start.
Let's do it.
Kicking this off with a number 7. Oh, you got a light, silly one to start. This one is my would you rather question.
Okay.
Would you rather have to fake sneeze or fake vomit in the scene?
Fake vomit. Ah, no, fake sneeze. Are you kidding me? Fake vomiting would make me real vomit.
The question is, though, can you do a convincing fake sneeze?
No, you know what I do? I go, because I'm so used to being on set when I have to sneeze, so I've made it internal, but my fiance says that it's like, it's gonna maybe not be good for my brain, so I have to let it out.
Is that like a real thing or an old wives' tale? I feel like that's something my mom would tell me growing up.
I think so. He's very sweet and like very observant. So he's like, what if like you're doing that and it's messing with your brain? So I'm like, now every time I do it, I'm like, maybe he's right. Maybe I'm right. But I don't think it's real. I think it's a good thing, actually. And I actually really don't like people that have an obnoxious sneeze. You know when it's just like way too, you're like, calm down. Like you could have toned it down. They're like, achoo! And I'm like, calm down. You should have told me that that was happening before. It's like, just look at the light, get over it.
I won't tell my dad you just said that.
Oh,
all right.
No, I'm so sorry.
Second roll on the tower here.
Okay.
All right, we're moving over to a number 6. Ooh, this is an acting question. I love this question. I call it favorite, least favorite. Can you tell me your absolute favorite part of the acting process? You know, rehearsing, putting your costume on, seeing the set. But then I also want to know not necessarily your least favorite, but a part of the process where you still see room to grow for yourself and you're excited to tackle it.
We can say least favorite. Are you kidding me? Everybody has a job that they love and they hate. Like, you know what I mean? Let's normalize that. Like, it's not all rainbows. Like, you know, there is a least favorite to the job for sure. But my favorite would probably be, well, the process is, pretty amazing. And for different roles, especially, I love when it's like really challenging, like something to do with weather, something to do with wind, something to do with like, you know, when there's like raining or, you know, we're working in the desert or like, I love anything to do that's really challenging that you're like fighting. I love when we fight for the light, you know, like the light's going out and we all have to work really fast. Those moments of like putting everyone under pressure and seeing if we crack and we don't and we actually come, I love that.
This is why you're a good producer. You can handle this stuff.
Yes, I think I really thrive off of that. And I know that everybody's gonna be like, that's everybody's least favorite because of course, like you don't wanna have to feel like you have to work fast, but I love putting everyone to the test and like coming out on top as a team. I think it really pushes like the crew as like a teamwork, you know, it's like really cool. My least favorite, okay, I have two. One, read-throughs. I hate read-throughs. Like, I get it, why we do it, but it's so boring. And I just would prefer to just, I also, like, in a read-through, you have to contain yourself. Like, you know, you just have to read the script and just, like, read it out loud. I want to act, and I can't because there's 40 people just reading it regularly, and I want to be, like, you know, and do my, and so I'm just, like, I feel like it's just trapping me, and I don't like it, so I'm, like, let's just go on set and do it right now. And then the second thing is I really hate getting dressed. I really do. Like, it is so boring. And I'm just like, I wish, and I always say this, like, I just click my hands and I'm ready. But I can't, and that's what is, some people are like, I love the process of getting ready, and I hate it. Because, like, my brain is in the character, and I just want me to look like the character, and I'm ready to go. So that's why, like, especially Damsel, like, getting ready was just such an ordeal. So getting onto set, I was just so ready to just, like, go for it.
It served you well because it's a beautiful costume and the evolution of it is exceptional. Mm. And then also, like, you give 110% in this role physically. I can't wait to talk about some of that. But first, we have one more role left on the tower for you.
Okay.
All right, we're wrapping this up with a number four. I'm happy you got this one because I know you're a big pet lover.
Yes.
This question was added to the list after a Sundance movie called 10 Lives. I want to know, what is the most above and beyond thing you've ever done for a pet?
Oh, this is good. I mean, where do we start? I guess the two that come to mind, one being, my Great Dane has arthritis, so I create a document plan for everyone that lives in the house so that she has specific supplements. She goes to acupuncture once a week. She gets massages once a week. She gets red light therapy. She has special food. She has a special collar. She has an orthopedic bed. She has a high food and drink tray so that she doesn't bend her neck for her neck's arthritis. I'm, like, very obsessed with curating plans for each dog that has problems. So one, probably that, because when I tell people that, they're like, what? I also got a car based on my dogs. I got a minivan, like a soccer mom car, so that I filled the whole back with dog beds so that all of them were comfortable and could load into the car properly. And then the second thing would probably, I helped a cat give birth to four kittens. And that was probably also crazy. The craziest thing was actually I called my 12-year-old sister and was like, you have to come over and see this. I was like, this is the craziest thing ever. And Ava came over and she was just like, what am I seeing? I was like, look, it's coming out. And there was four beautiful kittens. And actually, she was giving birth to one of them and one of them, like, wasn't coming out properly. So I called my vet and I was like, what do I do? She was like, get gloves on and get it out. I was like, okay. It's like pulling gloves out, pulled the kitten out and let the mom do the rest. That was probably the craziest thing I've ever done for an animal. But also, like, one of the most moving and unbelievable situations. You'd never see animals kick into that, like, instinct of just like, I have to survive and I have to take care of my own. It's beautiful.
What a beautiful answer. I didn't expect it to go there. I have so much respect for someone.
Nobody ever did. Like, when you ask about my animals, you never know what's gonna come.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night. I am beyond thrilled to welcome Millie Bobby Brown to the show for Damsel. Huge congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of all of your earliest shows and films, which one would you say wound up being the most influential in terms of teaching you the kinds of stories that would be important for you to tell going forward and what you value in an on-set environment?
That's a really good question. I would say the most influential would be... Okay, so there's a sense of 11 being super influential for me, just as a person, but also as an actor. It taught me a lot about how to be an actor. Enola, though, taught me how to, like, the kinds of roles I want to play. So I think there's split in that, you know, because 11 really shaped me into a woman, and she really shaped me into the kind of actor I want to be. But Enola told me the stories that I want to tell.
Oh, I could see that.
Uh-huh. And then the kind of, oh gosh. You know, there was something about my future movie, Electric State, that's coming out. That on-set environment, I just loved. I just think that it truly set a precedent for, like, the kinds of sets I really value. Like, I love friendship and family and connection. And I think that's really, really important on any set because you're together all the time. You know, I'm with that crew more than I am with my family, with my fiance. Like, I'm constantly with that crew. They become friends. And as much as you have to maintain a super professional relationship, of course, they see you break down and they see you laugh and they see you mess up. And you have to be vulnerable. You have to open yourself up and be willing to make mistakes. And they see all of that. They are your audience for however long you're filming. And so there's naturally a very good connection there. So I think for me, like, that is the most important thing, is having a really good connection with your crew.
Nothing makes me happier than hearing about someone who values a filmmaking family, because you put so much of your time, energy, and yourselves into these roles. I feel like it's important to be surrounded by that group of people.
Yes. Yes. And just being super understanding, everyone has a job, you know, like, you have to understand, you know, think so many people get caught up in the idea of, this is me, I'm an actor, and to stand on my mark and deliver. And it's like, no, like, everyone is here to play a part. It's a machine. Everyone has a gear, and it all has to work cohesively. And everyone has to feel like they're important.
So true, so true. All ships rise on a film set. Yes. Always, always, when you respect one another.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I want to circle back to Stranger Things, because one thing that I love asking about is the experience of breaking out in Hollywood, because I feel like it can be completely different from, like, the outsider perspective compared to the person going through it. So, two-part question. You'll notice I like two-part questions. What is a misconception about the reality of breaking out in Hollywood? But then can you also pinpoint something that really did change for the better when the first season of Stranger Things hit?
Oh, it's a really good question. I think the first, well, the biggest misconception. That is so interesting. I would say, like, that I was super busy. Like, yes, I was really busy. And yes, like, people are like, you know, they must be, like, you know, here and there and, like, going to party. I'm like, I'm 11 years old. Like, I am going to bed. I am hanging out with my family. Like, I'm going on vacations. Like, I'm not, you know, I wasn't, like, when I was, you know, when Stranger Things season one came out, like, I was on vacation. I was actually on a road trip. And so for me, I think that was probably the biggest misconception. People were like, where are you right now? Like, are you in Milan? Are you in? And I was just like, I'm in Lake Tahoe on a jet ski with my dad. Like, I was like, that's just what I'm doing. And that's my happy place. And then the second part of your question.
Something that changed for the better after it came out and it amassed such a big fan base.
I got work. Right? Like, okay, this is going to sound. But when you are auditioning as much as, like, you know, I did and the other kids on the show did, it is, like, so hard growing up with rejection. Like, it is such a formative part of your life, right? Growing up, you know, when you go to school and, like, you know, anyone that rejects you, it takes its toll on you after a while. And as an adult, you know yourself, and maybe you have thicker skin and you're able to adapt. But as a child, it's really hard. And I think for me, like, to just stop at least being rejected and to be like, you know what? Like, one, like, I am I have an opportunity and I'm going to take it, or I'm not going to take it, and to accept the fact that rejection will come and go in different forms and ways growing up and living, and it helped me accept that more, and that helped me for the better because I was so terrified of people saying no to me. And then the second I got Stranger Things, I was like, well, maybe that's okay, and maybe even I can say no. And I think that helped me.
Yeah, I very much understand that. At that age, I could not handle like average day-to-day no's and rejections.
Right.
So the fact that you're all able to power through that and like pursue your art just wows me to no end. All right, here's another broader career question, but it teeters into damsel a little. And this might sound silly, but because it's only one single line of dialogue, but one of my favorite parts in the movie is when Elodie takes that little like leech-like creature and she tells it, I'm deeply sorry for underestimating you. I thought that was one of the most beautiful lines I've heard in a while. So
yeah, I love that line too.
It's so good. Can you tell me about a time when like you underestimated an experience, a time when you thought like, I don't really need to do this, but then you did it and you gained something from it?
Oh my gosh, totally. I think that happens with every job I go into. Like seriously, you know, of course I underestimate it. I'm like, it's another job. Like I'm gonna go into it, I'm gonna give it my best. But then I leave and I'm always like, wow. What an experience, what an opportunity. And I think that to me is always the case when I enter any job. It's just like, I underestimate myself as well, not only the experience, but I'm like, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And like, you know, of course you underestimate yourself. And of course there's almost like that imposter syndrome where you just kind of start to, you're like, I'm not good enough, I'm not gonna do, and you're just like, and then you leave it, and that's everything, right? To know that I did it, I overcame it, and I also gave it my all every day.
You definitely can tell in this movie. So I'll lean into that a little bit. Going into filming Damsel, is there any particular thing that you looked at on the filming schedule and said to yourself, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but you did it, and now you could look back on it and be really proud that you pulled it off?
I think for me, the two scenes that really stuck out was one, the scene where I was in like a, I don't even have had a name because each cave has a name, but it's the scene where I look like I'm in an air conditioning vent and I'm crawling through it. That for me was like reading it on paper, it made me so anxious because I'm claustrophobic. So I knew that I'm going to like every day that it came close to it, I just like felt sick and I was just like, and then I went on to set and I said, I can't do it, I'm sorry. And then we came back a week later and they were like, we changed it a little bit. And I came back and nothing was changed. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I climbed in and I did it. And I think for me that showed, you know, there's no limitations to what I can do. Just as a person, right? It's just like, I can get through this. And, you know, my mom's always like, mind over matter. Like, I truly had to tell my brain, you know, you can't prohibit me from doing something that I need to do, which was really impactful for me as a person. And then the other thing I would say, the other scene was just the last scene of me confronting the queen and the prince. Like just on paper, I knew that was going to be challenging, and it definitely proved to be challenging even when filming it, because, you know, I want to exhibit strength and anger and resentment, and it was just, you know, it was a really complex scene, and I really wanted it to be impactful when people watched it, and so I think that was probably quite a challenging one.
Great success in that respect. I have another question about the physicality of this performance, but in particular, because so much of this movie, I wasn't really expecting this, so much of it is just you. So having gone through this experience, is there any lesson you learned, a takeaway about, I guess, being your own best scene partner, if that makes sense?
I actually didn't take that away from it. It changed my perception on the crew because, mm-hmm. you know, I always thought, okay, there's the crew and then there's the cast, right? But no, like everyone on that film was my co-star. Like when I was walking alone, the guy that was filming, our cameraman, was my co-star. And the guy who put my mark down was my co-star. And the guy who was lighting me from the left and the guy who was blowing wind on the right was my co-star. The guy who fiddled with my sound mic and made sure they could hear me screaming. And they were my co-stars. And I think for me, it changed my perception of how significant the crew are to making films. And I was working with them, not for them. And I think that really changed my perception of the cast and the crew.
Oh, I love that takeaway so much. I have to wrap with you, so I'll squeeze in one last question. We've hit the past, we've hit the present. Now one question about the future, specifically about Stranger Things, because obviously that show's been a very big part of your life for so long. It is coming to an end soon. At this point, do you feel like you're going to have a sense of closure with Elle when Cut is called for the very last time? Like, you know, her story is complete and you can kind of move forward and leave her behind? Or is there a sense that she'll stay with you kind of forever?
I guess I don't know until it happens. You know, there's like so much talk of it and I really won't know until it happens to me. I know it's going to be hard. I'm not really sure how I'm going to feel.
I was thinking when I wrote down that question, I'm like, this would be an interesting one to ask now and then again in the future
right. When
it's done.
Exactly. Well, I'm really emotional and I do attach myself to characters. And I got, you know, the 11 tattoo. So I'd always feel like there's going to be a sense of her with me. And I'll always go back to her for reference. But of course, I want to grow as an actor and as a person, but of course, there's always going to be my home and my root to who I was and who I am.
It's a cool and very exciting balance to hit there. I have to let you go. I am going to say congratulations on everything you've accomplished. Congratulations on Damsel and everything coming your way in the future. The Ladies' Night door is always open to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was so fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your backyard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.